So then she goes on a PD-1 agent.
She did, and at that time it was a protocol-based PD-1 inhibitor. She was on one of the earlier trials. She rapidly achieved a remission in all sites of disease. She tolerated the treatment well. She did initially develop some hyperthyroidism that then evolved into hypothyroidism and now requires thyroid hormone replacement, but otherwise has had no immunologic events and has done very well on PD-1 inhibition, which she continues on at this time.
Which agent did she get?
She's getting nivolumab.
And did she have a CR?
She's not in a CR. Interestingly, her nodes have shrank down considerably. They're actually largely normal in size, but there is some FDG avidity within them that is completely stable in size. And one of the things with these agents is that PRs can be durable, and some of that may be reflecting the fact that we're seeing an ongoing immune inflammatory response as opposed to active disease in those sites.
And how long has it been now that she's been on treatment?
It's been over a year at this point, and she is in ongoing remission.
So it's interesting you mentioned about the hyperthyroidism presenting. I'm not sure I've heard that before. How did she present it, clinically or laboratory?
Clinically. So she presented with some tachycardia and jitteriness, and we checked her thyroid studies and found it. And I think it probably reflects the initial immune attack and thus a sudden release of the thyroid hormone, something akin to what we can see in an inflammatory thyroiditis where patients initially get thyrotoxic and then wane. I think the hypothyroidism is more commonly reported. Both are certainly reported. I wonder if one looks back carefully, if the patients who develop hypothyroidism have a subclinical hyperthyroidism that precedes it due to the initial immune attack.
That's interesting. I assume you don't see exophthalmos.
We did not, no.
Interesting.
It probably would need to be more long-lasting for that.
So I wonder if, and again, this question comes up in every tumor type where checkpoint inhibitors are being used, which is the question of, is there a point where you stop therapy? I don't know what her protocol calls for, but what about the issue of stopping therapy? Have you stopped it just preemptively? Have you seen patients who had to stop because of toxicity and then had a continued response? What about unmaintained response?
Yeah, I've seen several different scenarios that can play out. I think the clinical trials have been different. Initial clinical trials would take patients who were in a sustained CR after a year and the agent could stop. And some of those patients remained in remission and others relapsed. And the patients who relapsed would usually respond to PD-1 inhibition when it was resumed. What I've typically been doing is continuing the agent in the absence of toxicity. Patients who are clearly having significant immune-mediated toxicity and are in a complete remission, I'm comfortable stopping the drug for mild toxicity. Certainly, we're dose reducing or stopping the drug for severe toxicity in either context. But right now, I think all of these things are possible. Some patients will have a durable remission if you stop the drug. I think the data is going to bear out that the majority of people, when you stop it, certainly less than a year after achieving their initial remission, are likely to subsequently progress. But what is the perfect duration to be on these checkpoint inhibitors? We still don't know, whether it's a year, 2 years, or more.
Have you seen any delayed autoimmune toxicity? I've heard about arthralgias or arthritises that may pop up, dermatologic problems. Have you seen anything late?
I have. It's interesting that these reactions, unlike most drug reactions, if you're out 6 to 8 weeks, you think you're the patient tolerating it. We can see this out a year or 2 years later, immune-mediated toxicities develop. And one wonders if there are other factors that might contribute, some immune activation, including an infection that might precipitate such a reaction. So I've certainly seen this rashes, pneumonitis, even some inflammatory colitis that have occurred later. I think these fall into the range of being idiosyncratic.